Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith from Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so grateful to be on the program and with you tonight, and to know that God that we serve is a mighty good God. He is a God of light. He is a God of favor. He is a God who loves in spite of. He loves. God is a God of power. He is a God that brings joy in the midst of a storm. He is a God that provides. He is a God that is kind, a God that is patient. I thank you for tuning in to the program tonight, Mission from the Heart Radio. I tell you, this has been a roller coaster ride of a week. We're in Thursday of this week, and I'm so excited about our lesson tonight. Last week, we had an awesome program with a brother in Christ by the name of Larry Salazar. If you missed his testimony, I tell you, you need to go back on the website and listen to his testimony and just feel the joy that he has from receiving his sight, and how he was walking in blindness, and now he walks in sight of who Jesus is and the life-giving sight, God, our Creator. So thank you for joining me tonight in a wonderful lesson that we have. We're going to be looking at John chapter 9 in Scripture tonight. And I just want to give you the link for you to write down and take note of it, that you can go back and listen to prior programs, and that is www.blogtalkradio.com/heart to heart MFTH. And let me repeat myself, www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-MFTH on the end. It's all one word, heart, the number two, heart, MFTH. And you can go back to the website there at your leisure and listen to all of the programs that we have recorded over the past month and so, and just be filled with the joy and the excitement that God gives when we receive his word in such a simplistic way, and when we hear the testimony of others and how our souls should just leap on the inside when we when they and others express their testimony. It's just good to tell your testimony, and as we look through this lesson, hear others' testimony and how they came into this marvelous light and moved into out of darkness into light. So thank you again for joining me tonight via the internet and online to our radio program. So I'm just going to move right on into the lesson. I'm super excited on getting right to the meat of things, and God's word is meat for the soul. We know in Genesis how he brought manna, sent manna from heaven to the children of Israel, the Israelites, when they left Egypt. They came into the wilderness, and they received good food for their body, and that was called manna, as they could best describe it. But it was good food for the physical body. And then they also received, provided by God, quail, meat for the physical body. But what we're going to be looking at tonight in John chapter 9, we're going to look at the spiritual, or the spiritual food for the soul, for the soul of the man. And we want to receive that good food from God's word that feeds the soul of the man. And also, we're going to drink of his living water. That's also nourishment and refreshment for the soul of the man. So I just want to walk tenderly with you in this next hour of our program on John chapter 9. Now, the topic for tonight is light gives sight to the blind, that God be glorified. And so if you would walk with me slowly through this lesson, we will receive such a beautiful nugget in this particular chapter, in chapter 9. And I want to look at some highlights, some nice points that the Holy Spirit revealed to me as I was studying this one particular chapter. And again, it's light gives sight to the blind, that God be glorified. John chapter 9. And we're going to look through verses 1 through 41. Now, I just want to point out that the light is Jesus Christ, who gives sight, which is salvation, to the blind, those who are sinful or dead in their transgressions, or non-believers, that God be glorified. This is the picture that chapter 9 in John is showing us, that light, being Jesus, gives sight, which is salvation, to the blind, which is us. Before we received salvation, we were sinful and we were dead in our sinful nature. We were hell-bound, if you will. We were going to hell prior to us accepting salvation. And that God be glorified when we accept our sight, when we receive our sight. So this is the picture and the lesson in John chapter 9. So we're going to look at it in detail and just move through it slowly, so that you can receive what the Lord is giving to us tonight. So I just want to start out with a little story concerning myself, concerning this particular verse. There was this one verse in this passage, verse 4, John 9, verse 4. And I just have to share a blind moment with you. And I call it a blind moment. And we've heard that term, blonde moment. I thought it would be appropriate to use blind, because I was blind concerning this particular verse. And verse 4 reads this way: when I heard, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, that's verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work? I sought it to be literally. I read this and I took it literally. I thought it meant work while the sun was out or shining, daylight. Because once I went to sleep, I could not work. Now, that was my blind moment. I was thinking about this literally. So I started to thinking about this verse time after time, not really studying the verse in light of Scripture. So, and realized what I thought didn't make a lot of sense. I looked at this with impaired vision, blindness. A literal eye, literally, work, going to work during the day and night, sleeping during the night. So now I'm not going to say how long I thought this way, just know I did, because I took it literally, work during the day, and then when it was night, sleeping during the night. But it wasn't until I prayed for knowledge and understanding, according to Proverbs 9, verse 10, it reads this way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So it wasn't until I prayed, and that's when I received knowledge and understanding. Colossians 1, 9 and 10 read this way, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So when I studied the passage of Scripture is when the Holy Spirit revealed to me God's purpose, God's plan, and praise be to God. And it wasn't until I prayed for knowledge and understanding of this particular verse. And once I did that is when I received what God wanted me to understand about I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. Some translations say we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. So I prayed. I was in blindness. I had impaired vision pertaining to this verse. I prayed and I received the type of sight, spiritual sight, that I needed in order for me to have a deeper understanding of this verse. So I give God glory, praise be to God, and this is the principle of this lesson, the title of this lesson, Light Gives Sight to the Blind, which was me, according to this particular verse, that God be glorified. And I tell you, when I received the sight that I needed concerning this verse, God just continued to give me insight of this particular passage, and He just continued to give me wisdom concerning His will, according to the verse that I read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, that He filled me with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy, that I walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that's what he wants from us. He wants us to work while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So let's move into our passage, John chapter 9. For those of you who have your Bibles make note of these verses as we move forward. And in the event that you just don't have time, just remember you do have time, and you can go back and listen to the lesson at your leisure on the Internet. So, now, my first point is God's purpose. Now, remember in the beginning of my story, I indicated once I prayed, God gave me understanding and knowledge. So when I studied the passage of Scripture is when the Holy Spirit revealed to me God's purpose. And I said he revealed to me God's purpose, he revealed to me God's plan, and God be glorified. He gets the praise from us when we receive the sight. So my first point is God's purpose. Now, what is God's purpose? God's purpose is to move his children from blindness to sight, to move us from blindness to sight, to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's look at verses 1 in John chapter 9. Let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. And this is how it reads. And I'm going to read the verses out of the New King James Version. It reads this way. John chapter 9, verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Let's stop right there. Now, in verse 1, it indicates that he saw a man who was blind from birth. He was born blind. And this may be some of you who are physically born blind, but you may not be physically born blind, but you may know someone who is physically blind in sight. So let's look at those verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, before I move forward, blindness during this time of day, during the times of in Scripture, they thought that any type of birth defect, blind or paralyzed, they thought that it was because the parents sinned, or the person who has the birth defect or any imperfect way about themselves physically, they thought someone sinned because they were born with this condition. And they were blind in their understanding of the person's birth defect. They assumed because the man was born blind physically that his parents sinned or he sinned. And if we look at the passage, it says, and the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, it doesn't have anything to do, as we know now, that it does not have anything to do on whether the parents sinned or he sinned. Because remember, Scripture tells us that we're all born in sin, that none of us are born righteous, no, not one. So if we're born in sin, then how could the parents have sinned, and what has been produced in the womb of the mother is a baby born blind? So that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Just as I indicated in the beginning of the program, that I did not have a clear or a right understanding concerning John chapter 9, verse 4. So I was blind in my understanding, just as the disciples were blind in their understanding in verse 2. When they asked, the disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So although the man was physically blind, the disciples were spiritually blind by asking Jesus this question. So I want to look at two things. Blindness signifies in Scripture, blindness is like sin. It signifies sin. Now, that's going to make more sense as we move through the lesson. I want you to look at chapter 9 in the book of John, and we're looking at verses 1, 2, and 3. So walk with me, and I want to take this slow so it won't be missed. Now, a man born blind, disciples in verse 2 were spiritually blind because during their time, again, I'm going to reiterate, they thought a person who was born with any type of birth defect, they thought that the parents sinned, and that's the reason why the child was born, different from maybe you and I or them back then. And that blindness in understanding. But the blindness, as we move through this passage, we're going to see that blindness, like sin, is a matter of death. A dead person surely is blind, meaning spiritually dead person is blind. The disciples were spiritually dead in understanding, just as I was myself when I thought verse 4 said, I took it literally when I said, I must work, or according to some translations, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. And I looked at that literally, not fully understanding. So I was blind in my understanding. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, who revealed to me a deeper understanding because I prayed and I asked God, the Lord, to help me better understand this verse and passage. So this is what I want us to see, that blindness signifies spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness, which is spiritually dead. The ways of the world is sin. We are born in sin, but not fully understanding that when we're born in sin, it doesn't mean that we're automatically going to be deaf or blind, can't hear, or paralyzed. We're born in sin because of the fall of man, Adam, and Eve in the garden. So it took a perfect lamb to cover our sin, and we know that to be Jesus. But in this passage, this is prior to him going to the cross. So he had to help his disciples better understand what he called to do or why he came to do with what he needed to do. And so that's why verse 4 says we must work, or some translations say I must work, just depending on what translation you're reading. But in verse 4, it says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, that's verse 4. But I just wanted to bring out some understanding that when we are dead or blind, that signifies that we are unbelievers and we are blind because we have not received the kind of sight that God, being the light, wants us to receive. So, again, the title is Light Gives Sight to the Blind, that God be glorified. So let's look at, I hope that kind of helped, that the man that was born blind at birth, he didn't commit any sins. His parents didn't commit any sins. But Jesus answered them in verse 3. And Jesus, the disciples asked, well, why was he born blind at birth? They wanted to know. And they thought they knew because of what everybody told them. Well, oh, his parents had to have sinned. Oh, he had to have done something in order to be born this way. Now, is that us accusing people who may have some physical difference that we can look upon them and just accuse them of something that they've done? Is the reason why? We should not be doing that. We should not condemn anyone. What Jesus wants them to understand, we'll read this in verse 3. Jesus answered, and this is what he says. Follow me in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now that's clear. Jesus came in verse 4. He says it again, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So Jesus answered the disciples, and he made himself very clear in verse 3 and verse 4. Now, remember, my point was God's purpose is to move us from blindness to sight. And what that means is we are to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he answered them. God, he says, neither of his parents nor did he sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, are we going to allow God to use us that he be glorified? We need to think about that. We need not to be in blindness of our born again, our new creation within inside of us. Are we going to stay in a blindness, impaired vision? No, we are to move from blindness to sight. So for those who have not confessed that you are a sinner and you have not confessed that you want to be born again, now is the time, today, not tomorrow, not next week, Not when you turn 60. Not when you get of golden years. Now, today is the day that you accept salvation as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, salvation is the sight that you need to receive. And Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world, according to John 8 and 12. I am the light of the world. So what Jesus said to the disciples in verse 3, he answered them, he said that the works of God should be revealed in this blind man. That's why, that the work of God will be revealed. That's what God wants to do with so many of those that are walking in blindness. And that means non-believers. Jesus died for everybody. But those who continue to reject Jesus' word, Jesus' work, and Jesus' Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, they continue to walk in blindness. Then they will not see. They will not receive sight. It's not until you move from blindness to sight. How do we do that? We accept Jesus as our light, and we receive the gift of life, which is sight, salvation. We live eternal when we believe by faith that Jesus rose and he sits on the right-hand side of God. So when we accept salvation, then we no longer are walking in darkness. We are no longer walking in blindness. We are walking in sight. So let's move forward. So we understand that it wasn't because of the sins of the parents. Jesus answered them. He said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but he was born so that the works of God might be manifested in him. Why? That God get the glory, that God be glorified. And Jesus even answered him saying, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming when no one can work. So we just want to understand that he must do with what God has sent him here to do while it is day. For when night comes, no one can work. Now, let's look at this. Impaired vision producing blindness, outward sign, but no inward change. Now, I talked about how the disciples had impaired vision. It produced blindness. They had impaired vision because they didn't understand the spiritual side, the spiritual blindness that they were walking in. They had no understanding of why this man was born blind. So they had impaired vision, producing blindness, and the outward sign, that was the outward sign, blindness, but no inward change. They had not had any inward change, according to verse 2. Now, we looked at verse 2, and Jesus answered in verse 3 and verse 4. They had no understanding, which I indicated, of the deeper mysteries of the works of God. Jesus made mention of that in verse 3, that the works of God might be manifested in the blind man. Look how Jesus responds in that verse, that the works of God, the power of God, be revealed in him. Now, we should be wanting the same thing, that those that look upon our lives, those that hear us talk, those that hear us see with what we do in helping others, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, and that we live a life that loves God Almighty, Yahweh God, Jehovah God, that they will see the God in us because of what and how and who we serve, what we do in our living, who we serve in our heart, and how we talk about him and glorify him daily. He gets the glory out of our lives. But if we walk in blindness, then of course we're not going to show any outward signs of God getting the glory. We're just going to continue to fall in a ditch, if you will. We're going to continue to latch on to the things of the world. A couple of programs back, we looked at the types of ground that the seed is sown on. And we talked about the sower and the seed that gives and produces life. And we talked about those particular types of ground. And it was a very interesting study. But we have to be a good ground. And that is when we receive salvation. So let's move forward in verse 4. Now, just as myself, I did not fully understand verse 4. I thought it meant work while the sun was out or shining, daylight. But it was not until I asked of the Father. I prayed, studied, and allowed the Holy Spirit to reveal to me the deeper mysteries of that particular verse, verse 4. And this is what we are to do as God's children. We don't go meandering around and just accepting with what the preacher preaches from the pulpit or what some brother or sister in Christ has just told us concerning a particular verse. We are to pray about it, and we are to study to show thyself approved unto God. Study his word, ponder on his word, and then we are to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the deeper mystery of a particular verse or a particular passage. We are to allow the teacher to teach us, and the teacher is the Holy Spirit. He reveals to us what God wants us to know. And when we study, we receive understanding and knowledge of God's word. And as we mature in our spiritual journey, we become a little more wiser in the word of God, that we could help someone else along the way, just as this program does every Thursday evening, Mission from the Heart. That's the purpose of our program name, that we mission God's word from the heart, exposing his word, founding on his word, which really means explaining the word, and then we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to stop right here while we are focusing on a transformation, moving from blindness to sight. I want to pray a prayer of salvation right now for those who are listening via the internet, for those who are listening live on the line. I think it's so important that we do this because I cannot assume that every single person who tunes into this program is a believer in Christ Jesus, that they are saved. That would not be right of me, assuming. So I want to extend the light that you receive sight and that God gets the glory. So if you could pray with me and those who are listening right now, if you would just bow your head and pray with me also, if you're saved and if you're not, then extend your heart to the Lord right now and receive salvation, the free gift that you would move from blindness into light or sight. Father God, I come praying right now and touching and agreeing with all my other brothers and sisters in Christ who may be praying at this very hour. Lord God, you know who they are, that we come before the throne of grace with a bowed head and humbled hearts, Father God, asking and praying for those who may be listening to this program, who may be in a situation right now that may cost them their life, Father God, who may be devastated or misunderstood, Lord God, who might be in a dire strait right now. Lord, I come asking that they receive salvation right now in the name of Jesus, that they would extend their hands up to thee and confess that they are a sinner, that they believe by faith that Jesus died on that cross for their sins, that they are forgiven right now, and that they accept you as their Lord and Savior, that they confess every one of their sins as you bring it to their remembrance, and that they know that Jesus' blood stain on that cross covered their sin, that they would receive salvation, eternal life through Christ Jesus, that they would say yes to you, yes to Jesus, yes to the Holy Spirit. Lord, come into their heart right now and be Lord of their life, sitting on the throne of their life, that they would be new in creation, that they would be born again, Lord. You know the condition of their heart. You know the beginning and the end of their lives. I ask that you would change them, make them brand new on the inside, as you follow them every day of their life, Lord, that they would turn to you and walk through the door of salvation, that they would move from blindness into sight, is my prayer. Lord, receive them as your child. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise be the Lord, and glory to God that you who have accepted Jesus Christ on this very day, at this very hour, it was not by chance that you just happened to program and tune in tonight. This was God's will for your life, to accept him as your Lord and Savior, that you will not perish. John 3:16 puts it nicely. God so loved the world, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. So praise God, get into a Bible teaching church that you would be discipled and that the word of God would clean you up and continue to purify you, that you would be set on a path that the work of God would come out of you according to the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That the fruit of God would show forth out of you, and you would be going into all the world telling the good news of Jesus Christ, that God get the glory. So I just wanted to pause for that moment, that salvation would be extended. So let's move on into the passage. So we've looked at verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4 of chapter 9 in the book of John. And we're going to continue. Now, going on our own way, of course, we know, is too long. when we are doing things in our own will, in our own way, and, of course, operating in blindness. This is not good for us. Proverbs 16, verse 25 puts it this way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, of course, when we were walking in blindness, when we are walking in blindness, it seems right to us because of our fleshly desires, but it actually ends in the way of death. So we have to be born again, and we have to move from darkness or blindness into light so that we can have a deeper understanding of what God wants and expects from us. So when we are walking and operating according to the fleshly desires, then we are going to stumble, and we are going to fall, and we're going to become in the ways of death. But when you receive sight, when you receive the light, then all of that is different. Doing it our way is the wrong way. Remember the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus? In Acts chapter 9, verse 4, it reads this way. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Says this. Let me get there. And if you could turn with me to Acts chapter 9, verse 4, I'm going to read it in the New King James. It says, "Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" Remember, Saul was persecuting believers for accepting Jesus as the Messiah and thought he was doing something right. He was blind, doing it his way. He was blind, and that was the wrong way. He was spiritually blind, although he physically had sight. Now, remember in verse 1, the man was born blind. He was physically blind and spiritually blind. So Paul was physically, he had sight, but spiritually he was blind. He did not understand, so he continued to do it his way, which was the wrong way. So according to Acts 9, verse 4, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Although Saul could see, as I said, with his natural sight, he was blind concerning the spiritual pain. He didn't understand. So we can be that way in our life. We may be thinking we're doing something right, but we're actually doing it wrong. I was that way. I had a blind moment. I thought, according to verse 4, that I had to work while it was daylight, doing things during the day, because when I went to sleep, I couldn't work. Well, that was wrong thinking. Walking with our eyes closed leads to destruction, death without God. And that's what I made mention just a few minutes ago. We walk with our eyes closed. This man was born blind, but we can walk around, if you haven't tried it, walk around with our eyes closed. You're going to be running into something eventually. You're going to fall into a hole or stumble over something eventually. And if you're not careful, it could lead to death. So without God's leading, we are dying. But with God leading us as the shepherd, then we are receiving sight from the light, which is life eternal. Listen to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, this is God's leading us. He knows the thoughts toward us. It's not to harm us. It's to give us a future and a hope. Listen to what Psalms 119:105 says, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The very word of God keeps us from stumbling. Because remember what I said, walking with our eyes closed leads to destruction, death, without God's leading. So we need a leader. We need a guide. We need a shepherd. His word is a guide. It's a lamp unto our feet, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen. I tell you, I thank God for his purpose to be for us, and that is to move us from blindness to sight and to show us that impaired vision produces blindness. Impaired vision, that's also walking with our eyes closed, leads to destruction, death, without God's leading. And we saw that doing things our way, going our way, is long enough, tugging on our heart, trying to get our attention, that we need the light. Remember, John 8:12, says, I am the light of the world. And we'll see that in verse 5. Jesus says in chapter 9:5. We'll look at that. And it reads this way in verse 5. It says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. Now, Jesus said that in John 8:12, and then he says it again to the disciples. They asked a question, Jesus gave them an answer, and he also indicated to them and those who were watching, standing by, listening, he says who he is. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the light. Now remember, the lesson is light gives sight to the blind, that God be glorified. Jesus is the light who gives sight, which is salvation, to the blind, which was we were born in sin, that God be glorified, that God gets the glory, that he gets the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your love. And this is what we have to understand in this passage, that although it's talking about a blind man, although they thought the blind man sinned, they were missing the mark. And Jesus had to explain to them that it was for God's work to be manifested, that he get the glory. And Jesus told him, I must work the works of him who sent me. That's why I came, while it is day, because night is coming when no man can work, when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So in verses 6, Jesus indicates and shows what he's going to do to this blind man. So God's purpose for us is to move us from blindness to sight, which is to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's God's purpose. God's plan is the light-producing sight. Now the light is going to produce sight. He's going to produce sight in verses 4 through 13 in John chapter 9. And then also we're going to look at it in verses 35 through 38. 4 through 13 and verses 35 through 38. And it shows us Jesus working the works of him who sent him. He's working the works of him, which is God, who sent him, which is Jesus. So he says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. And that's John chapter 8, verse 12. But have the light of life. Now, what is the light of life? Jesus is the light. Life is salvation. Born again. New life. That God be glorified. Moving us from blindness to light. To sight. Only Jesus could say this because he came to the earth as God the Son in human flesh to live a perfect life and then be sacrificed, shedding his blood on the cross for the sins of the world. And I made mention of that earlier, that only he could do this. He was the perfect lamb. John 12, 35 through 36 reads this way. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Now, John chapter 12, verses 35 through 36, explains in depth, in detail, that he is the light. He made mention of that. In verse 5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He said that also in John chapter 8, verse 12. What we're going to do is, I'm super excited about this, and we're going to bring this to a close of the program because we've ran out of time. But I tell you, we're going to pick back up on this beautiful lesson, the light gives sight to the blind, that God be glorified. This is an awesome, awesome lesson out of John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. But we have walked through this word verse by verse, and we're just looking at the rich nuggets and some of the mysteries that pop out of these verses. And we're going to stop at verse 5, 1 through 5 we've covered in this program. And we're going to pick back up on next Thursday concerning the light that gives sight to the blind. And the purpose of this lesson and God's work, Jesus' work in this passage, was that God be glorified. And that's what he wants from us. So this brings us to the close of the program, and I want to meet you again on next Thursday where we will pick up on part two of this, and we will continue in God's plan for our life, and that is him being the light-producing sight. So we'll look at that on next Thursday at the same time at 8 o'clock. So I just want to thank you and for being with Mission from the Heart radio program, and just always remember that the word, that the grass withereth and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God remains forever. So God bless, and thank you for tuning in tonight. And I pray that your week will continue to be a blessing, and that God be a glory, that God gets the glory, and that you would attend church this Sunday and praise with other saints. But remember, move from blindness to sight. Thank you again. God bless, and good night.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.